This is
Essential.
This is Essential Audio.
And so if you think about this, right, where banks were forced to modernize, also banks, because of regulation, dear chairman letters in the UK, others, because they are systemic, economic, critical infrastructure, you have to have redundant systems in place, right? So if you think about it, one, dear chairman letter in the UK after the NatWest meltdown, right? You had to go and make sure, one, you had to sign off as a business leader. I had to sign off at Barclaycard that I was responsible for national critical infrastructure. That's one. Two, banks had to have redundancy built in, right? How many times do they have to do resiliency tests a year? How many times do you have to prove to regulators that you can recover? Those happen as well. In this industry, right, it's one company running that entire network of those 15 billion transactions. So do you think we've set the table well enough for folks kind of get an understanding of what we're talking about before we get into the meat of the discussion?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Artificially Intelligent, brought to you by Money 2020. I'm your host, Sam Aul. Maya is off today, and when we finish the show, she's going to ping me and tell me, what are you doing? I so desperately wanted to be there. Because on today's episode, we're going to focus on a fast-breaking healthcare payments news story that continues to unfold by the hour. And I have brought in a subject matter expert to help us with this. I'm going to introduce in just a second. But to give you just a quick bit of background what we're talking about, we're recording this on, I think it was like March 7th, and about 2 weeks ago, hackers conducted a massive ransomware attack on Change Healthcare. That's a division of United Healthcare Group that transmits both health providers' claims to patients' insurers. And the consequences of this are staggering and actually not being talked about that much. So I mentioned I'm bringing on a subject matter expert. We're literally going to call this episode Bo Knows, and you'll understand why in a minute. Because let me introduce my good friend, Bo Hartman. Bo, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sam. It's always great to catch up with you, my friend.
So Bo's legendary when it comes to banking and payments, but what he's doing now is even how you go from banking to this, I don't know. So Bo, do you want to explain the company you work for and your focus area?
Yeah. Hey, I'm one of the founders of Nomi Health. And as you know, Sam, I don't know the audience does. I was a partner at Goldman Sachs, where I built Marcus by Goldman Sachs and Apple Card, 30 years international banking payments. And one of my co-founders, Mark Newman, who founded a company called HireVue, discovered a niche inside of the medical healthcare system where if you pay doctors directly, the cost of the service is 30 to 50% less. And Mark Newman, and my other co-founder, Josh Walker, who's a 20-year veteran of the industry, approached me in the end of 2019 and said, hey, do you think you could build payment rails to allow us to pay doctors in real time? Because most doctors don't get paid for 9 months to a year. And that way they will then put a network together, which would allow us to submit that cash payment, reducing the overall cash spend of self-insured employers, state and local governments on programs by 30 to 50%. And so, being a partner at Goldman Sachs seemed a little bit too easy. And I decided to be a pure startup guy this late in life. I said, yes, let's jump on and make a difference.
Yeah, you went from, yeah, let me do a partnership with Apple, and all of us are smiling because we know how easy that is. And not only that, let me build a new bank and a new product inside of Goldman, which is what, 150-year-old institution. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, from the success of what you did there to go into healthcare payments, I think you are nuts, personally.
Yeah, well, let me set the groundwork before we jump into the Change Healthcare situation, because as you and I were talking earlier today, the impact to a $4.5 trillion market that's going on, and it just doesn't seem to be getting what I would say the airtime that it deserves. And I want the payment audience here to think about what this means and how we can actually bring innovation to this world. So Nomi Health, let me give a little bit of quick background of what Nomi Health is. So Nomi Health is a medical data claims analysis program and medical payments company. What we have done is we've brought together a medical claims data company who takes self-insured employer claim information or state program information, and we do proprietary analytics on it to help what we call the purchasers of healthcare, where their spend is going and how to enhance that spend, make that dollar go further. We also have a pharmacy optimization program, which reduces the overall cost of drugs for the different purchasers and their constituents. And then we have the financial rails that we have built. So we've built financial rails to do all these payments in real time. As I said earlier, these payments usually take months and months and months to actually make it through to providers, which is causing a provider issue in the United States. And we're also building a network of these providers who want these direct cash payments to reduce the cost. So we're talking same provider, same service, less cost. And so those are the things that we're putting together. And that is what Nomi Health is, and we're changing the face of the healthcare system in the United States. So that's a little bit of our background. So let's set the table, Sam, if you're ready, of medical payments in the United States, change healthcare, what's been going on, and the impact of why we're both shocked that it's not getting the coverage that we think it should.
You know what I find fascinating is the similarities between the U.S. banking system and what we're about to talk about. Oh. So just to level set for everybody, because I saw this fact this morning. In the U.S., 6 out of the 10 top banks use Hogan as their core banking platform. Hogan came out in 1977, everybody. So yep. Pre-internet, pre-K-car. How's that? Let me date it. Forget mobile phones and internet and AI. Pre-K-car from Chrysler. Google that, somebody. So we always talk about the legacy systems when it comes to banking. Bo, can you kind of set the scene for what this is like in the medical industry when it concerns payments?
I'll make the correlations. By the way, was the K-car the one with rich Corinthian leather? I can never remember.
That sounds like Lee Iacocca, but I'm not sure. I just remember it was one ugly car.
Yeah, one ugly car. It is. So for those out in the audience who aren't familiar with medical payments in the United States, let me set the stage of the size of the market, and then we'll make the corollaries to banking and to where medical payments are in the United States. So in the United States, the healthcare industry is a $4.5 trillion industry, just the United States alone. Just to level set everyone, the United States is the number one military spender on the planet. The number two and number three, China and Russia, make up about $500 billion a year. We spend over $1 trillion. The healthcare industry is four times that. The healthcare industry is also on its way to be a $5 trillion market by 2025. Now, inside that market, you have one major player that does all the claims adjudication in there, which is Change Healthcare, which was purchased by Optum, which is owned by United Healthcare System, right? So that is the basic equivalent of JPMC owning MasterCard, Visa, and the clearinghouse.
Let's go back and repeat that just so everybody understands, because within banking, we talk a lot about monopoly. I'm just throwing that term out. They basically own all of the rails when you're saying that. The clearing account, the clearinghouse, MasterCard and Visa, that's basically all payment flow.
Exactly. So what happens, the way that payments work in the United States, is you go to the doctor, you present your insurance card, your doctor then submits an invoice or a claim through the exchanges, which Change Healthcare runs, so that's MasterCard and Visa, sends that claim in, it gets adjudicated by the different insurance companies, whether that's United Healthcare, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, Humana. It gets adjudicated, meaning it gets determined what should be paid and what price or reductions it should be sent. It is then sent back to Change, which then distributes the money out to the providers, right? Mm-hmm. Change does about 90% to 95% of all of that in the United States. Now, to give a corollary of the way that it equates to banking, and Sam, you and I have talked about this a lot. Banking, we were forced to mature our technology, our processes, our architecture, from about, what would you say, mid-aughts in the 20s, all the way up until recent times. Marcus built on modern architectural stack with no incumbency around it. So we were able to bring in the best and the brightest pieces of tech that we could. But then you have other large banks that are like struggling with the calcification of old architectures, ganglion cyst connections, and it just slows it down. But banks were forced to move forward. This industry has not. They still use fax modems. to get claims. Everything is done. You'd be shocked, by the way, of the amount of CSV files that are batched up and sent with billions of dollars of claims stuck in them today.
And just to give you an idea of volumes that we're talking about, because Bo, you said 90 to 95% of these running through through Change. I read an article in The Atlantic prepping for this, and The Atlantic said that Change claims it handles more than 15 billion healthcare claims a year. That was with a B, everybody.
Oh, yeah, B, a B. And remember, you and I were like back in the younger days when I was at Barclaycard processing a billion transactions a year. We thought that was mind-blowing. Think about this. Antiquated architecture, which, by the way, it's just a large organization. It's, you know, the men and women who work there work very hard. But we know, coming from large organizations, it's challenging, right, to modernize these things. But just a fun aside story, you know, there are still providers in the United States that submit their claims via fax modem.
That is amazing.
Back to these clearinghouses, right? And so if you think about this, right, where banks were forced to modernize, also banks, because of regulation, dear chairman letters in the UK, others, because they are systemic economic critical infrastructure, you have to have redundant systems in place, right? So if you think about it, one, dear chairman letter in the UK after the NatWest meltdown, right? You had to go and make sure, one, you had to sign off as a business leader. I had to sign off at Barclaycard that I was responsible for national critical infrastructure. That's one. Two, banks had to have redundancy built in, right? How many times do they have to do resiliency tests a year? How many times do you have to prove to regulators that you can recover? Those happen as well. In this industry, right, it's one company running that entire network of those 15 billion transactions. So do you think we've set the table well enough for folks kind of get an understanding of what we're talking about before we get into the meat of the discussion?
I think one thing to add to this, just so people understand the impact of this. So Bo knows that my wife years ago went through breast cancer. So and you know, I have relatives that have diabetes. So think about this when they're going right now to their pharmacist, for example, and trying to pay. The copay is not going through right now when you think about that. So they're having to pay the out-of-pocket expense. This medication can run $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 for some of these. You have to have them to live. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you're talking about individuals' lives right now. And I mean, the impact is having, and that's for the pharmacy side of this. Now think about surgery. I mean, honestly, the impact of this is staggering. And Bo, to your point about how this isn't front headline news on every major media outlet, is mind-boggling.
Yep. So let me go a little bit further of talking about the events of what we're seeing today, the impacts, and then we can even give some examples. And then the things that have happened just within the last 24 hours, which I think are quite telling, right? So so as we discussed early on, this is just not getting the airtime. I mean, when you're doing research this morning, you saw a lot of what I would say second level news agencies talking about this very much. And you know, I don't know if you want to say anything about that before I jump into this.
I'll be polite.
Okay, got it. We'll be polite. Okay, so as you said, a week and a half ago, Change Healthcare has experienced this ransomware attack. All indications that we're getting, it was a state-sponsored hacker group out of Russia, Black Hat. It was a ransomware attack from what we can tell. And Black Hat has claimed not only have they taken over the infrastructure, they've also extra-filled 6 terabytes of data. And in their claim, they said they have all the information on providers, they have information about patients, they have information about hospital networks, and the DOD, because the DOD uses UnitedHealthcare as its provider of pharmacy and medical services. So we're talking about, this is on the level of the Experian breach, okay? And it has information about family groups, so they'll know your family because your claims will be associated to your family, and that goes deep.
Yeah, I was reading on NBC News about this. They're not sure if this ransom has been paid, but through research, they have found that there is a Bitcoin wallet that received a payment of more than $22 million on Friday. Yes. Obviously, the Fed, you just can imagine how many people are focused on this right now and trying to track through this. But that's a whole nother show when we talk about cyber warfare.
Oh, that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother show. And by the way, that wallet, so Black Hat actually went online. There's a bit of a drama in the hacker community because Black Hat actually said someone absconded it with their wallet on the infrastructure they rented to do the attack. So that's, again,
all right.
Yeah, so it's really insane. So here it is. I'm going to put the transaction for our fintech friends in a way that we can appreciate. Right now, in the United States, $10 to $15 billion of medical spend on a daily basis is not moving. If you annualize that, that's $3.5 trillion that are not moving of that $4.5 trillion we spoke about. Because it cannot be moved. The other thing is doctors, hospital networks, pharmacies have resorted to writing in paper claims and faxing them in. So think about what has happened. You already had an overtaxed workforce in the hospital and the provider network. You are now having them go and actually do paper forms or do extracts from their electronic health record system and trying to figure out a way to get that into United Healthcare and Change to so they can process payments, which, by the way, they don't have access to their systems right now, so they can't process.
Yeah, the Washington Post estimates that as many as 25% of physician practices are now exhausting their cash reserves and that many hospitals and healthcare providers haven't been able to pay a bill for services since February 21st. And again, this is March 7th when we're recording this.
Right. And well, did you see the article about the the New Mexico Oncology Center that says they have about 2 to 3 weeks of funds left to, or they are going to have to shut their door?
Yep. Unbelievable.
So unbelievable. And so that's the impact. By the way, and again, I'm not trying to beat up on United Healthcare. My heart goes out to everybody involved in this. But United Healthcare is a $440 billion market cap company. And in the last 24 hours, AHA has lobbied Congress to start preparing a PPI or PPE-like program for these providers and these hospitals. CMS and HHS, who oversee the healthcare networks in the United States, have already sent a letter to Congress saying that we would like for, in not their words, but a bailout to start to be prepared. Because this is critical national infrastructure that has been knocked off the grid. This is the same as if our electrical grid had been taken out, right?
So another great example of this, again, from the Washington Post. So a woman by the name of Kristen Meyer, who owns a primary care practice outside Philly that serves 20,000 patients, she's watched payments from insurance companies literally be shut off. Typically, her practice gets between $20,000 and $70,000 a day in deposits, but by Tuesday, it received $1,600.
And that is the hospitals you go to, that is your medical providers that you go to, like you said, the pharmacies that you go to. And this is why, before we dig into the underlying things that are taking place here, this is why I can't believe we are not talking about this. This is insane. And Congress is now having to, in the last 24 hours, start having to kick off dialogue of a bailout of a single company that, because it's critical infrastructure, which, by the way, United through Optum spent last year $12 billion buying Change Healthcare. $12 billion. Now, in the DOJ had brought a case against the purchase because they wanted to review a monopolistic idea, and a federal judge stepped in and blocked it to let the deal go through, which I can't understand why in this deep, deep market that's nationally critical to us, that we don't let competition or innovation in. This is where the folks listening to this podcast could really start thinking about how do we actually, you know, bring in competition? Because you and I know we had resiliency where you had multiple credit bureaus inside your bank and you had to go across each one of them, right?
Let me stress, this podcast is sponsored by Money 2020. Y'all caught that title, right? It is 2024, and we're still talking about faxes. Faxes, everyone. I don't even know what to say. But honestly, I mean, how do you fix something like this? And so again, if I look at you, we said this is, we called this Bo Knows. So jokingly, how do you approach this?
So exactly. So back in 2019, when Mark and Josh approached me, right? And they said, hey, here's this opportunity for us to reduce medical costs that were already going up by 5% a year in the United States, but also help providers stay in business, because in the United States, we're losing providers at an alarming rate because they can't stay in business. Because by the time they submit a claim and by the time it actually gets paid, it's already been deducted, reduced, and their delay of payments. So they're barely hanging on to keep things running. And so the way that I approach it is the way that we approach Marcus and Applecard at Goldman, whereas why don't we use modern tech stacks on the financial rails and then pay these hospital networks and these providers in real time across the clearinghouses that exist today. Same day ACH. We also run across some of the credit rails when we have to help people out. But you know, we actually built an entire financial service network rails using the clearinghouses, using some of the credit card rails, so that we could pay these providers in real time at a reduced cost, so that they can absolutely get the money they deserve. We also built an innovation around pricing and the way that we do pricing in real time. We adjudicate the claims in real time, just like we did in credit cards, right? So you can adjudicate multiple transactions around the world in seconds, and it takes this industry weeks and months to adjudicate something that's fairly straightforward. And so that's how our first step into how do we actually modernize this infrastructure.
It's going to be fascinating to watch the fallout of folks testifying before Congress, because you can see this. Eventually, the news dam is going to break. There's just no way, because this is impacting way too many Americans' lives. You know, I mean, it just is. So there's no way that there's not going to be congressional hearings on this and discussions on this.
We have heard rumors. Well, of course, we've had a lot of policymakers get a hold of us in the last 24 hours because they know us well from our time and COVID response. And we're trying to push this concept that we should turn medical payments in the United States into a real-time function like we do everything else. We've heard through channels that Congress is asking the CEO of UnitedHealthcare to actually come to Capitol Hill to testify into this infrastructure that has actually gone down. But if you imagine a world, right, which is the world that we're trying to build in Nomi. Imagine this, Sam. What if we were held to the same standards that if we were to, and we're in banking, where we had multiple providers and multiple rails? This would not have been as catastrophic as what it currently is.
Yeah, 100%. And we have so many other verticals that you can look at. I mean, Bo, you and I were talking before we even started recording, just the similarities between, you know, the banking sector in the U.S. Because jokingly, when fintech first kicked off, back when Bo had hair and I wasn't so great, we used to jokingly say every company is a tech company. And now we say every company is a payments company. And the verticals, we're just seeing these horizontal trends that go all across them. And the lessons that are learned from just this one hack, let this sink in, everybody. This is one hack against one company, the impact it can have on Americans' lives and people's lives. And we're talking lives here. We're not talking inconvenience. This is individuals' health and financial health.
So think about this. We were thinking about this morning. When COVID hit, doctors lost 90% of their patients because no one could come into the doctor office, right? Yep. And so there was a $1 trillion bailout around that because they lost 100% of their revenue because they couldn't see patients. This is the converse. It's 4 years ago today that COVID kicked off in the United States. It's converse here. They have 95% patient caseload and they're getting none of their revenue. So they still have to see the patients to take care of them, but they are unable to pay their staff. They're unable to pay their rent. They're unable to pay their bills. Because they're unable to submit claims and get paid back.
So Bo, this is what we need to do. And I think this is something in a few weeks we should come back and revisit and see where it stands. This is, I'm not kidding, everybody. This is an unfolding story that is just, it's on par, in my opinion, of it feels like September 2008 in some respects, except it does, but except of having, you know, 80 Bear Stearns sitting out there, here's one.
And it's the only one.
Amazing. Okay, folks, look, we could keep talking for another hour because this subject is unbelievable. But we've got to wrap. So that's it for this week's Artificial Intelligence Podcast. Look, we love hearing from you. And if we don't hear from you on this episode, I give up. Please go out. Give us a review. 5 stars, of course, wherever you listen to your podcast. It helps us grow our audience. And please reach out to us because we'd love the feedback and you know, to hear directly from you. You can find me out on Twitter. You can find me on LinkedIn. Reach out to me there. Bo, where's the best place for these listeners to contact you and also to learn more about Nomi?
Yeah, so I'd go to nomihelp.com is always one place to reach out. For me, you can always reach out on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Bo Hartman. That's BoeHartman.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Artificially Intelligence, and we'll see you next week.